We'll get started soon. While we're here, why don't we get started with a word of prayer? Amen. Pray for the technology. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for the way that you you guard our hearts. You guide us in the way we should go, Father, and thank you for all the resources you give us to bring us back to your path. God, we need that help. Father, we need your word. It's a lamp to our feet. God, we need songs that we sing really to be able to remind us of the things that you've said, God. Help us to, after this lesson, really see the way that we sing differently, that we wouldn't just sing in worship, but that we would sing everywhere we are so that we can make sure that our crazy hearts get back to your path. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So again, scriptures are the songs we sing. Oh, great, it's working. Amen. Over the last 8 weeks, we've learned about different types of songs that we sing, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We've also learned that we can use scripture from those songs to be able to help us to connect our hearts and our minds to worship. And so, as we've talked about these, we've had a number of different topics, names of God, heaven, hope and adversity. And through all of those things, one of the things that really resonated to me was the fact that we really only sing to three audiences. We sing to God, we sing to others, and then we sing to ourselves. Right? And so as we start the lesson, the topic of today is going to be singing in the Christian life. That's going to be our goal. And so singing in the Christian life is really, it's really about walking with Jesus on the path that he set out for us. That's the goal. So let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 15. As we're turning there, the lesson scope is really about songs we sing to each other and ourselves to bring us back from the path when we've strayed. And my goal is to convince you to use songs like these, not just in church, but in traffic. And everywhere you are, that your heart seems to flail from the path. And so that's the goal. And we'll just be able to jump right in. And so we'll talk about it. So what we're really talking about here is I wanted to ground us a little bit on the Christian life. And what is it? So when we talk about the Christian life, Jesus has been very clear about what's important. In John 15, starting in verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man in me, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Really, the Christian life is all about Jesus. Really about how our hearts are connected to him or how they're disconnected from him. And so how do we know which one it is? When our hearts are connected, they're fruitful and productive. When our hearts are disconnected, the verse says we wither and we die. So that's how we know. But, you know, there's a lot of life situations that happen. We go to many different places. We're in many different places in our mind and in our hearts that just make us disconnected. We can easily be disconnected from the vine, depending on the circumstances that we're in. The path back to the vine, the path back to the path, depends on where you're starting. So where you're starting is crucial. You have to know where your heart is before you can figure out what path you need to take back to the vine. Right? So turn your Bibles to Matthew 14. Because we're going to cover the three places that our hearts tend to be when they're disconnected. I've got examples from the scriptures for three places, but there's many places our hearts can be. We all are familiar with emotion, right? So, but the three emotions I'm going to talk about is when our hearts are anxious, when they're unengaged, and when they're scattered. And so then we're going to talk about the three songs we can use to get us back to our destination, which is the vine. And those songs are going to be "Be Still My Soul," stand up for Jesus," and "Ring Out the Message." Okay? And so we'll start by looking at what an anxious heart looks like. So Matthew 14, we're going to start reading in verse 29. And the backstory here is Jesus is walking on the water and waves and winds are buffeting the boat that the disciples are in. And they see Jesus and they are terrified. He calls out and says, "Don't be scared, it's me." Right? Peter says, "If it's you, call me out to the water with you." He gets this burst of faith and courage. But then the scripture starts saying, it says, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus took his eyes, Peter took his eyes off Jesus and put it on what worried him, the winds and the waves. It caused him to doubt. He got overwhelmed with anxiety, and then he started to sink. Peter was scared. Peter was scared, and we all get scared. But when if circumstances threaten us, if circumstances threaten us and we take our eyes off of Jesus and put it on whatever may happen, we're going to go the same route as Peter. We're going to start sinking into our circumstances, into our anxiety. And when we're anxious, we do all kinds of stupid things. We forget that he's in control, and we try to take control ourselves. Right? It becomes about us instead of about him. And then when we can't fix it, we get scared and we start to panic and we sink even deeper. And then the fear flusters us and makes us do stupid things like, try to run back to the boat. Right? But, it completely jacks up our judgment, but we can't get back to the boat. We're only walking on the water. We can't walk on water, much less run on it, and we're only walking on it because Jesus helped us to do it, and if we're not focused on him, what makes us think that we can get back to the boat, right? But it doesn't matter because, our minds and our hearts are gone. Right. We're not paying attention. We're completely disconnected from the vine, and that's how we get when we get anxious. It's a dangerous place to be spiritually. And when we feel ourselves or others around us in a place like this, we need not to take it lightly. This isn't something just to pass by and say, bro, it'll be okay. Right? This is something we have to pay attention to because it's dangerous. It's critical to get our confidence back because our anxiety shows not just a lack of confidence in our own abilities, but it shows a lack of our confidence in God. It takes that away from us. And that's when we need to get songs like weapons. We can use songs like weapons to brush away that anxiety and to steady our hearts. Amen. And so we're going to talk about a song that's like that. We're going to talk about Be Still My Soul. Amen. Right? That's a song that I've used, and it has brought me back from some times where I feel like, I was just worried and flustered and scared. I was just like Peter. And so the song goes, and I'm going to sing, so. Come on now. Don't get upset. Okay? The song goes, be still my soul, the Lord is on my side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, faithful he'll remain. Be still my soul, your best, your heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. That song goes on. It goes on, and the words are just deep. It says, be still my soul, your God will undertake to guide your future as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still my soul, the waves and winds shall know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we will be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joy restored. Be still, my soul, my best, be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. This hymn is about waiting on God with certainty, even through uncertain times. Amen. It's a song to calm the soul when fear and doubt are creeping in and trying to terrify our hearts through circumstance. Right? And so when we start to look at the first verse, it really resonates with me. It talks about the Lord is on my side. It talks about bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. What it's really saying to me is calm down. Calm down. The God who loves you is in control of every circumstance. And that's what I need to hear when I'm anxious. It reminds me of scriptures like Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. How is that possible? Well, you see something else just like it. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted more than you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide you a way out so that you can stand under it. How is that possible? It's only possible. It talks about, all things work for the good. It says that no temptation will overwhelm us and that he'll always give us a way out. That it's only possible if we realize that God is in control of every circumstance. That has to be true for those scriptures to be true. All right? The circumstances are under control. Now, what worries us is they're not under our control. They're under His control. And without Him, we have every reason to be worried. Every reason. But with Him, we have no excuses for being worried. If we believe what the scriptures say. So turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Singing a verse like this really calms me down and directs my attention back to where it belongs, which is really on God. So the second verse is like a calming stroke on the head to me. It just relaxes me. It's like God is saying, He's done this thing a million times. He's done it a million times. Don't get nervous. You'll see how it all works out later. Everything around you will submit to Him. It's okay. It's okay. It's fine. Don't worry. He's really good at what He does. Just trust Him. That's what you got to do, is you just got to trust Him. Hebrews 3, verse 14 tells us that we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. Trusting Him is something you must do to stay in the vine. You must trust Him to stay in the vine. Our salvation depends on our trust in Jesus. So take seriously any threats to our trust. We have to take that seriously. This is why anxiety isn't something to be brushed under the rug. So when we trust Him, we remember scriptures. I mean, the song brings to my mind scriptures like Matthew 8, 23 through 27, where Jesus is calming the storm. It reminds me that I have good reason to trust Him. It's rational. It makes sense to trust Jesus. He teaches us, I mean, in songs we sing, where we can sing these songs and we can come to scriptures like this and they can point us to the fact that we have these lyrics that will help us to eliminate these threats from our heart that we have. And so let's not get it twisted. We are at war. We are at war. But when we trust Jesus, our circumstances can turn out to be more like a classroom than like a battlefield. He teaches us about ourselves. He teaches us about Himself. Right? He teaches us in a controlled environment because He has got it under control. So it is like a classroom. We are at war, but it is a classroom. And we can learn from every situation we're going through. So that's what we need. So let's say, you know, we've calmed down. We've calmed down. We're not worrying, but we're just tired. We're just tired. Sure, He's the master of my circumstance. Sure, He's got everything under control, but it's still hard. It's still hard, and I'm tired, and I'm tired of being tired. And I just want to stop. I just want to stop. We get there sometimes. When we do, a song like this reminds us to look to the joy that's set before us. We really need to keep the joy of the finish line before us when we're tired. I mean, this verse, really, when I paraphrase it, to me it says, you know, just hold on. Just hold on. He's coming, and when He does, all those hurts will heal, and you'll never be hurt again. All that exhaustion will melt away, and you'll never be tired again. You'll see Him face to face, and you'll just be made whole, and you'll be full of an inexpressible and glorious joy. Amen. That's what it talks to us about. Look to the hope that's set before you. It reminds me of scriptures like Hebrews 12, 2 through 3, where it talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus, who has perfected our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Amen. And He scorned its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the glory. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And Revelation is really it's a preview. Revelation 21:4 is a preview of what we're looking forward to. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Amen. Jesus endured the cross by the joy set before Him, and we can endure our circumstances by the joy that we can set before us. But we can deal with physical exhaustion if we're happy. We can lay down and say, oh, this is great, I'm tired, but woo, I'm having a good time. Mm-hmm. It's the mental exhaustion that gets us. Right. It's the mental exhaustion that has us waking up after 10 hours sleep, mentally drained and dreading the day and ready to give up before it's even started. Right. That is our problem, because the battle is here and it's here. Right. It's not in our bodies. Right. This song reminds us that the joy that melts away all that exhaustion keeps us from losing heart. So that's where we go. When you're tired and you're anxious, go to the joy. You got to have that written down. You have to know where it is. So when we talk about Be Still My Soul, it's really a song about steadying our hearts. And the bottom line is, it's not magic. It's all about perspective.
Amen.
It tells us to calm down, that God is in control, to trust Him and not worry, to take heart and really think about the finish line. Songs like these walk us through a series of reminders that bring our hearts and anchor them back when they're flailing to the vine.
Amen.
And that's what we need when we're anxious.
Amen.
So turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel, starting in chapter 11. That's where we're going to start reading. So we can use songs like these to steady our anxious hearts back into the vine. That's what we need. But what if we're not scared? What if we're not nervous? What if we're just uninspired and unengaged? That is a dangerous place to be. Probably even more dangerous because it's even more subtle. We can look at David for an example of this, and that's where we're going. So 2 Samuel chapter 11, it says, in the spring, at the times when kings go off to war, David sent Joab with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. We know the story. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and it snowballed from there. He committed it because he was lollygagging around the palace, unengaged. That's why that happened. Idle hands are the devil's playground. They are the devil's playground. And unengaged men, I mean, we're like demon Disneyland. You know, I mean, we just invite the men to come and play all over our hearts and all over our spirit. Brothers, every impurity and every kind of demon is lurking at the door waiting for us just to disengage. That's all he wants, is for us to disengage. And when we disengage, Satan waits for that. That's the opportune time. He's waiting for us to disengage when we're tired. Or even when we've done something we're proud of. It doesn't matter if we're tired or we've done something we're proud of. The point is, we say to ourselves, I deserve a break. I'm entitled to just relax. You know, that's the temptation. The temptation is to take a break and disengage, and then we give all the devil's tickets to the Disneyland that's happening in our hearts. And that's something that I really struggle with. I struggle with disengaging. You know, I grew up watching a lot of television. And when I just want to check out, that's where I go. I'll watch ESPN for hours. For hours. And that's my problem is, and brothers around me who know me know to ask me, bro, how many hours of TV have you watched this week? Because you can tell, that's how they know whether I'm engaged or not. The question is, what is it for you? How do you know if you're disengaged? Do you know? I'm sure many of you are sitting in this room right now, disengaged. How do you know? The point is, we have to figure it out. And songs like Stand Up for Jesus can help to get our hearts ready to engage us in the battle when we're just lethargic and being lazy. It helps us. And the song goes, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. And the word in the song keeps going. It says, stand up, the trumpet call obey, forth to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. You that are brave now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus and stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To those who overcometh or vanquish evil, a crown of life shall be. They with the King of glory shall reign eternally. This song is meant to stoke your spiritual fire.
Amen.
Now, when we look at it, the first verse, it's really a call to arms. It's a call to arms. It's telling you to get off the couch and get in the battle.
Amen.
It reminds me that we are in a heavenly army. I am a citizen soldier in the kingdom of God. I am a soldier of the cross. And every citizen in this kingdom is on a spiritual war campaign. Every single one. It reminds me that we have to stand up and fight and keep fighting until verses like Philippians 2:9-11 are fulfilled, where it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It says that, and we have to keep fighting because we're not just fighting for ourselves. We're fighting for the people around us because soon their choice will be gone along with their hope. They will bow. Everyone will bow, but you don't want the people you know to bow and then walk off into punishment. You want them to bow and come with you. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about this first verse. We want to be able to fight and stand up and get off the couch. So let's say we've done that. Let's say we've gotten off the couch. But when you're in the fight, it tends to be scary. So you get in, and you need something to help you to stay in. And that's really what the second verse to me is about. It's really a call to courage and to resistance. It's telling you to brace yourself against the opposition. It takes bravery. It takes bravery to live the Christian life. We are surrounded by unnumbered foes. And 1 Peter tells us that our own sinful desires are something that we fight against all the time. It says, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from them because they war against your soul. Right? Paul tells us that we fight dark powers in high places, not flesh and blood, against authorities, powers of this heavenly realm, forces of evil that just surround us. Danger is around us. It's even in us. And in James, it even teaches that, you know, in James 1:14, each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. The danger is close. The danger is close. You know, you have commercials, magazines, and so much media around us that opposes a disciple's lifestyle. And it opposes us because what happens is we look at that and they spark desire in our our hearts that endanger our souls. And that's when we have to make sure that we're not getting numb to it, that we stay awake. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be self-controlled because the devil's roaming around like a roaring lion looking to devour you. But James 4 says, if we submit ourselves to God then and resist the devil, he will flee from us. So we have to get off the couch and get our minds and hearts ready to resist. That's what we're trying to do. And being in the fine means that we're courageously resisting the temptations that lead us away from God no matter what threatens us. So, we're off the couch, we're in the fight, but how do we make sure we're not doing anything dumb to kill ourselves? Because we can do that, right? Verse 3 is really a call to strategy. It's a call to strategy. It says, fight with spiritual strength, spiritual armor, and spiritual weapons. It says we should use his strength, his armor, and spend our time in prayer to keep ourselves equipped. And the bottom line is, look, don't bring a physical knife to a spiritual gunfight. Right? We're not fighting flesh and blood. Don't do it your way. Don't do it your way. 2 Chronicles 32, starting in verse 7, says, you know, it talks about that strategy. Where Hezekiah is saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh. But with us, the Lord our God is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. That's our goal. It's our confidence, right? And we should gain confidence from something like that. And Paul tells us even more so that we should be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We should put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. Right? It goes on in verse 4, I'll skip down to verse 18, and it says, pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be always alert and keep on praying for the saints. I didn't write it up there, but Paul goes on, pray for me. Whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul mentioned all the armor and all the weapons one after the other. He mentioned them once. But prayer, oh, he sits on prayer. Pray for me, pray for each other, pray for everybody. Pray, pray, pray. When we think about prayer, prayer is really, it's our spiritual martial art. Right? The better we are at praying, the more effective of a fighter we're going to be. That's where we need to focus our energy, is learning how to effectively pray. Okay? So we're off the couch. I like Poe. So we're off the couch. We're resisting the devil. We're fighting with the right strategy. Now what? Now we really just need to keep it moving. Right? This first lyric, this last lyric, is really hearkening down to James 1, verse 12, where it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." This verse is really a call to persevere. The path to victory is through your enemy, not around him. It's through the trials and the temptations. That is where the glory is. So we have to make sure that we're persevering through it. So when we talk about stand up for Jesus, this song is a wake-up call. It's a call for the unengaged. It's a call to arms to remind us that we are spiritual citizen soldiers in an heavenly army. It's a call to courage, and it's a call to resistance, to resist the evil desires that reside within us. It's also a call to strategy, to make sure that we don't fight in our own strength. And we're not bringing a physical knife to a spiritual gunfight. Right? It's also, lastly, a call to persevere. And we have to realize that the glory is after we resist, and that will be our reward. So we can use songs like these to overcome the inertia of life. And we can really use it to stoke our fires, to get us back into the vine. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to start reading in verse 38. So what if we're not scared? Right? What if we're not, you know, sitting back and doing nothing, unengaged? What if we're just scattered? Yep. What if we're just all over the place? And we just feel like we're at our wit's end. So we're going to look here at this scattered heart to really understand how to respond. In Luke 10, starting in verse 38, and of course, as many people do when they're talking about scattered hearts, we're talking about Martha. And it says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home." Amen. "She had a sister called Mary," who was probably a younger sister, "who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried about and upset about many things, but only one is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her.'" Martha was busy, just doing all this stuff. And she missed the one thing that was needed. Jesus was in her house. And she was disconnected from him. And that's what happens to us. Being scattered can disconnect us from the vine. I mean, think about it. We're disciples. We have a lot on our plates, right? I mean, Sundays, Bible talk, Thursdays, reaching out, devos, discipling times, quiet times, prayer times, and go. Don't let yourself have a family, okay? I mean, we're talking date night, planning night, kids' times, prepping dinners, packing lunches, working out, gymnastics, t-ball, hockey, basketball, bedtimes, discipline. Even just, it keeps going, right? And on and on and on. And sometimes you can feel like, what's the point of all of this? It's easy to get lost in the fray. And when we get lost, we just get disconnected. We get lost in all the things we have going on. And when our heart is there, you can sing a song that reminds you that there is one thing that's needed. There's only one thing that's needed. And so we tell ourselves to go in this direction. And songs like Ring Out the Message say that this is the flow of the vine. This is the song that can direct you to where he is. And Ring Out the Message, I love this song. It says, "There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word o'er land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost in every nation, ring it out." I mean, it goes on. It says, "Tell the world of saving grace, make it known in every place, ring it out. Help the needy ones to know him from whom all blessings flow, ring it out. Sin and doubt to sweep away, till shall dawn a better day, ring it out. Till the sinful world be won for Jehovah's mighty son, ring it out." That is what we're supposed to be doing in everything that we're doing. Bible talk, ring out the message. Devos, ring out the message. Kids, ring out the message. Discipline, ring out the message. Whatever we're doing, all the activities, the common denominator that we should be doing is to ring out the message. It's the thing that connects our activities into a single purpose. It connects everything onto a single purpose. If you are frustrated and scattered in your heart, it's because you're not getting to know God in that thing that you're doing. Or you're not making God known in that thing that you're doing. I mean, that's what we have to do. Go ahead. I mean, when you're doing this, you're spinning your spiritual wheels. And that's where we want to get away from. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 9, verse 36. This song is like a trumpet call. It's like a banner raised. You know, when you start to look at armies back in the day when they fought, they would clash on a field, and the unified ranks would then splinter out into all these little skirmishes that are everywhere here and there. And if one army started to lose, they would raise the banner and call out the trumpet, and then everybody would know what that meant. They would look to the banner, and they would run to the trumpet, and they would rally to the banner so that they could present a unified assault and possibly win the day, right? And that's what this song is like. It's like Jesus is rallying us to his banner of ringing out the message. And in this first verse, it really talks about how Jesus is rallying us to his compassion. He rallies us to his compassion. Matthew 9, starting in verse 36, says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest field.'" This song reminds us that he has a message for the harassed and helpless that would make them courageous and true. And we have that same message. But the question is, do we have the compassion to ring it out? That's what this verse is trying to get us. Look, if we are going through our day so and we're so hectic and scattered that we don't pay attention, we will miss the harassed and the helpless. And if we're missing the harassed and the helpless, you know, Jesus isn't missing them. Jesus isn't missing them. And if we're missing them, we're really not connected to him. And so that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we're not losing connection with Jesus because we're just not paying attention. It's dangerous to be disconnected from Jesus. And it's not just, you know, for us, but for everybody that's out there. But let's say that we've rallied to the banner, okay? We feel the compassion for the lost. Now what? What do we do, right? The next thing, the second verse is talking about really, you know, it says tell the world of his saving grace, make it known. Right? Let them know where all blessings flow. I mean, what we're talking about, this verse is really talking about letting people know where they need to go to satisfy their souls. Right? I mean, we look at this, and we're talking about scriptures like Isaiah 55, verse 2, the invitation to the thirsty, where it says, don't spend money on what's not bread, and don't spend so much labor on what does not satisfy. Listen and eat what is good, and your soul will be delighted with the richest affair. In Matthew 11, 28, says the same thing. Jesus is inviting in the same way. To all who are weary and burdened, who tend to be our scattered people, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look, everybody wants to have their soul satisfied. But the thing is, that's our business. We are in the business of satisfying souls. And the message isn't just for the lost. It's also for the drifting. For those of us who are so scattered that we've forgotten who satisfies our souls, to call us back to that satisfier. So let's say that we've done that. Let's say we've remembered our compassion. We remembered where to go to get our soul satisfied, and we're telling people about it. What do we do after that? What do we do? Nothing. We just keep going. We just keep doing it. It's that simple, right? The third verse is telling us to consistently sweep out sin and doubt from people's hearts until Jesus comes back. In Matthew 11, am I on the right thing? Yeah, I am. Oh, whoops, I missed that one. So 28, yeah, of course everybody knows that's Matthew 28, 19 through 20, right? Okay, thank you. Typo. So Matthew 28, 19 through 20, it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And he will be with us to the end of the age. I mean, what we're doing is we're teaching people to sweep out sin and doubt till the better day. The better day is the end of the age. It's when Jesus comes back. The age started when the church came. And it ends when he brings his bride back with him. right? And so that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be sweeping out sin and doubt until that happens, right? So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about ringing out the message when we're scattered. That can focus us because it's the thing we need to do is really just remember the point. We can lose connection to the vine because we're just all over the place. So we can use a song like Ring Out the Message to remind us to rally to Jesus' compassion to those who are disconnected from the vine, including our brothers and sisters. It's a call for everyone to come to the feast, to remember who is the person that's going to be satisfying our souls. And it's a call to consistently be ringing out the message until the end of the age. This is a song you can always go to. This is a song I definitely go to when I'm scattered, to rally my scattered heart back into the vine. So that's kind of what we're going through. We're going to wrap it up now. So go turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll end there. I think the point is that songs are powerful. They are weapons of God to move men's hearts. We need different songs when our hearts are in different places. We need different songs because it's not going to be a cookie cutter approach. When we're anxious, we need songs like Be Still My Soul to steady ourselves. When we're scattered, we need songs like, when we're unengaged, we need songs like Sing, like Stand Up, Stand Up to ready ourselves to engage in the battle. And when we're scattered, we need songs like Ring Out the Message to put us back on the path we're supposed to go, to direct us. So my goal at the beginning of the message was to convince you to use songs like these, not just in church, but anywhere you are, everywhere you go, to get back up and to get back on the path. So if this message resonated with you, it's not for nothing. The Spirit does not pluck our hearts idly. If you've been plucked, you're supposed to do something. And we can look at David to kind of figure out where we should go from here. It says, then he took his staff in hand, starting in verse 40. Then he took his staff in hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, approached the Philistine. David, before he went to go fight Goliath, went to the river and find 5 smooth stones to fight with. He didn't take Saul's armor because he wasn't comfortable with it. It was the stones that he had slayed the bear with. It was the stone that he slayed the lion with. And so he took what he was comfortable fighting with. So if this message resonated with you, I challenge you. I challenge you to use songs as weapons to fight for your souls and the souls of the people around you. So I want you to find your songs and internalize them. Study them out and sing them on the way to work. Sing them, you know, as you come home. Sing them when you're home frustrated and everything is going on around you. Sing these songs. And then teach them to your friends. Teach them to your friends, you know, so that they can be encouraged, but so that they can also sing them to you when you need them. And you can sing them to them. I mean, these songs are sweet pills full of powerful medicine. And they're just full of grace and truth. And we can use songs like these to carry each other's burdens, like it says in Galatians 6, 1 through 2, and restore each other gently. There's nothing gentler than a song sung. And if we do that, I mean, we'll increase in our intimacy and we'll increase in our love for each other, and God will just be glorified by all the songs that he puts in our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
So that's the lesson. So before you go get your kids, I just want to remind you that when the pictures start, when the PowerPoint starts, the video starts, get back to your seats because we're not going to call you back to your seats. That's your call. And so we want to be down in our seats ready to worship when that happens. So let's hurry up and go get our kids.